This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. Last month, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation selected a Charlottesville man as one of 25 MacArthur Fellows. That's the so-called Genius Grant. Terry Bellinger is the founder and director of the Rare Book School at the University of Virginia. I recently stopped by this one-of-a-kind school that's nestled within the elevator crawl space at Alderman Library. You started the Rare Book School several years ago, not at this place, but at a different place. Can you tell me a little bit about something about the origins of it?
Several decades ago at this point. It started at Columbia University in 1983, and it moved here in 1992 and has been at Virginia very happily ever since. Or it has a base in Virginia. We do offer courses in New York and Baltimore and elsewhere. The original purpose of starting this school in New York was to provide continuing education for a very broad, very interesting, but very complicated field that had relatively little at the time, and that is the study of the history of the book, the history of publishing, the history of printing, the history of papermaking, the history of book illustration and bookbinding, the history of publication, the distribution of books, book collecting, and the town dump. The average Rare Book School student is 40 and is typically a rare book librarian or curator or an antiquarian bookseller or an academic who teaches various aspects of the history of the book or a book collector or a bookbinder or book conservator or somebody in training to be one of the above. And the average student comes and takes 1 5-day course at Rare Book School from a single instructor, or occasionally a pair of instructors. So, you would come to Rare Book School and take a course, for example, in the history of bookbinding, and you would be in class 6 hours a day with 11 other students, and Jan Storm van Leuven, who is curator of bindings at the Royal Dutch Library, would be at the other end of the table. And it means that you are in class with 11 other people who have a genuine interest in the subject, and you are all united not only in your interest in that subject, but also in your very reasonable desire to meet Jan Storm van Leuven, who's one of the great experts in the history of bookbinding in the English or indeed almost any other speaking world.
Is it anybody who is interested in old books, or are you specifically picking students who are going to enter into the field to grow the field?
Book collectors can be anyone, and we have, I suppose, the youngest student we ever had in Rare Book School was about 18 or 19. Quite unusual. There are very few undergraduates taking courses in Rare Book School because the subjects we offer are fairly specialist, and you're probably still at a stage where you want to grow up to be a fireman rather than a student of the history of typography when you're an undergraduate. And we get all sorts of people who are passionate for one reason or another about a particular historical period having to do with the history of the book and who come and take courses in that period from great experts in the subject and hang out with other people with this interest. If you are interested in 18th century book illustration, then your spouse has almost certainly long since forbidden any conversation on the subject with you, whatever. And your colleagues at work might give you an hour a week because they're kindly. So you come to Rare Book School and you take a course in the history of book illustration with 11 other people who are in your position, and there is an explosion of interest and excitement. And many tears on Friday when the course ends and people have to go back and are rationed to 1 hour a week from their obliging co-workers and nothing at home.
And you don't have any trouble finding students then?
Well, admission to Rare Book School courses is by competitive application, and people write statements explaining why they want to take a course. In practice, we don't turn very many people away, except in the case where we have 37 applications for 12 places, because there isn't room, and we're pretty firm about not letting courses grow above 12. And because it's a relatively small and agile operation, if we persistently get dozens more applications for a course than we have space in, then we'll simply put on additional sections of the course in subsequent years. There are some courses that have prerequisites. You're not going to get very far in your application for Latin Paleography 1100-1500 that Albert Derrolet teaches if you don't have Latin and good Latin and paleography already. There are other courses that are known around here as ignorance courses, and you really get into them because of your total ignorance of the subject at hand. If you're taking a course on the history of papermaking, and we offer such a course, it is curiously the only such course offered in the Western world, so far as we're aware. If you're taking a course in the history of papermaking, then the presumption is that you don't know anything about the history of papermaking and want to. And indeed, I suppose the best way of not getting into the course would be by being too articulate in your statement, giving the reasons why you want to take the course, because if you end up as a know-it-all, then you might be rejected in favor of somebody who needed the course more. But bearing in mind that the instructor in Rare Book School chooses students, we facilitate this, but they get the applications and they make the choices. Frequently what they're doing when they have more applications than they know what to do with is simply putting together 12 people who seem to be who seem to have some kind of relationship to each other, so they are all one thing or another, or they're all beginners, or they're all maybe not quite such beginners, and then the following year we'll flip over and take the people who didn't get in the other time.
So let's go back to the papermaking for a second. It seems paper seems like it's one of the most fundamental elements of civilization. And why, in the year 2005, is this the only papermaking course on the history of papermaking?
Well, education runs on pretty well-established tracks. Subjects like the history of papermaking jump the tracks and cut across a great many disciplines. We have a course on the history of European handwriting since about 1600, and it's the only course of its kind as well, which seems equally remarkable. Everybody is concerned with handwriting. Everybody is concerned with paper, and yet there simply are no courses in this. The subjects come up on occasion, but there's a difference between paper science and the history of paper science. Paper science is science. The history of paper science is history. And otherwise, it's one of those invisible subjects that manages to escape the curriculum, although many of us will have had the experience of fooling around with paper in the fourth grade or making papyrus or something of that nature. But it's invisible. There are parallels, I suppose. They're not perfect parallels. But do the following courses sound a bit strange? The history of food, the history of water, the history of vegetables. People must teach these things. But where and how? And Rare Book School is a useful way to do this kind of a course because you can get people who don't teach for a living, and indeed most people mixed up with the history of papermaking don't teach for a living. It's not an academic subject that you're going to find very many takers for.
And what do you see as the future for an institute like this? This is sort of one of a kind in the United States, or is it, actually?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are teaching book history, and very well, too. The difficulty for my clientele is that they're teaching it in academic environments, in degree programs. The other institutes that do what we do are pretty few and far between. 5-day courses, not for credit, intense study while you're here, grown-ups, competitive admission, and absolutely the highest caliber of faculty. I get very good people to teach in Rare Book School, in part because there are not all that many places where you can teach the history of medieval and early Renaissance bookbinding structure, but also because Chris Clarkson, who teaches that course and who is one of the world's great conservators and students of medieval bindings, wants to see to it that his field has a history that extends beyond his own working lifetime. So he's been teaching that course for us since the 1980s, and he has taught virtually every grown-up in the English-speaking world with an interest in that subject, which is not an enormous number of people, but it is certainly the people who are trying to hold medieval and early Renaissance bookbindings together for the benefit of posterity. We have an obligation as a civilization to pass on to our descendants some real notion of the past. It is not for us to use up the resources that have been handed down to us so that there is nothing left for the future, and that we have no right, I think many of us would agree, to make a really good CD of Monticello and pass this down to those who come after us as Monticello. The future has a right to a Monticello of its own, because in 100 years the digital arrangements will be incredibly more sophisticated than the ones that we're so pleased with, that we have to work with now, in the same way, no doubt, that a century ago people thought that a black and white photograph pretty much captured the essence of the building they were about to tear down to make way for modern improvements. Now, this isn't to say that all the Monticellos in the world are going to survive. We all know from personal experience that they don't. But we have an obligation to the future. We cannot deprive the future of the past. And where the past comes from, and has come from to a greater extent than anywhere else, is books. And it is a useful thing to try to equip people to look after those books, to make the hard choices that often need to be made. Yes, we will save Grand Central Station. No, we will not save Pennsylvania Station. We lead the procession to the dump, as I like to say sometimes.
That was Terry Bellinger, the director of the Rare Book School at the University of Virginia. He recently won a $500,000 MacArthur Fellowship. Now we'd like to leave you with a little bit of music. This is Daniel Berkman with the track Folkways off the album Calabash Moon. The album's available for free from Magnatune.com.